Welcome to Coach Bennett's Podcast, where every run has a purpose, where kindness is hardcore, where this is about running, and this is not about running, where every starting line is a finish line in disguise, where rambling still gets you where you need to be, where pineapple will never ruin your pizza, and the sodas, adult and not adult kind, are always cold, and where there is room on the starting line for everybody. I'm Coach Bennett. Thank you for letting me be a part of your day. Let's get started. Welcome to episode 42 of Coach Bennett's Podcast. That's right, episode 42, and I got not one, but two number 42s that I'm thinking about right now. Obviously, the first number 42, you got to go with Jackie Robinson of the Brooklyn Dodgers, one of the greatest and maybe the most important baseball player of all time, Jackie Robinson, number 42. And then as a Yankees fan, number 42, Mariano Rivera, the greatest closer in the history of baseball. So, okay, now we can get into the episode. I had to do that. I had to get in there and mention those two athletes. All right, this episode is called Behind the Lines. Now, when I started Coach Bennett's Podcast, that would have been in June of 2023, so less than a year ago, one of the things I said I wanted to do was talk a little bit about the behind the scenes, where I come up with maybe some of the runs or the workouts or the philosophies that I have. And one of the questions I get is often about maybe one of the lines I have, one of the statements I make, one of the phrases that I use a lot, one of the head starts if you do some of those guided runs. Where do they come from? Why do I say that? What inspired me to come up with that line? So this is a long time coming, and I'm excited about it. And the cool thing is, I'm in a hotel room. And I got to tell you, I feel like when I'm doing a podcast in a hotel room, they tend to work out pretty well. I don't know what it is, but we've done hotel room podcasts in Atlanta, Illinois, Miami. I'm in San Antonio now. I feel like I'm missing another one. Maybe Los Angeles. I don't know. The point is, I think like the planets are aligning a little bit. This is an episode that I've wanted to do. And the line today is, if you can't do the run you want to do, do the run you can do. Now, I'm not exactly sure the first time I said this. I imagine it was, when I was coaching high school, and it was probably when I was dealing with athletes, whether it was in the summer and the weather was really, really hot, or it was an athlete that was getting over sickness or injury, or we were concerned that maybe looming in the horizon was a potential injury or a potential sickness, or the schedule had screwed things up. The point is, it's not a new line by any stretch of the imagination. And I think it was probably most famously said in the 5-minute run. I believe I said it in the 5-minute run, which would have come out a few years ago, a guided run on the Nike Run Club app. And it really caught fire there. I had a lot of people reaching out after doing the 5-minute run and hearing that line. So I'm going to go into a little bit of the background of where it came from, what inspired it, how it fits into my coaching philosophy, how I think it needs to be a line that you have handy pretty much every single day. And yes, this is about running and this is not about running. But first, let me just tell you why it's in the 5-minute run, because I think that's a great launch pad for the rest of the episode. Because if you can understand why it's in the 5-minute run, why it's essential that it's in the 5-minute run, and why it's really the cornerstone or the central theme of the 5-minute run, well, everything else is going to be a little bit easier. So let's just start with a little background about the 5-minute run. Now, that was inspired by a conversation I had with a good friend of mine that had worked at Nike at the time. And I feel like this was maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago. It's hard for me to remember. It's hard for me to remember anything. But I can remember that it was winter time because it was dark. And we were leaving campus, Nike's campus. And he told me that he had to get to a ceramics class or something in downtown Portland. I said, oh, that's cool. And he had wanted to go for a run. And I thought, well, are you going to go for a run? He's like, no, there's just not enough time. I'm like, oh, well, when do you have to be at the class? And I want to say, he mentioned like 40 minutes. I said, well, how far away is it? And he said, it's like 20 minutes away. I said, well, you can get a run. And he goes, no, I don't have enough time to get in a run. I said, of course you do. You can go for like a 5-minute run. You can change, go for a 5-minute run, and you'll have time to get in your car, change, and then head to class. He's like, a 5-minute run? I said, yeah, 5-minute run. It's a legitimate run. It's a real run. You'll be happy that you ran a 5-minute run. And I remember the look he gave me originally when I said 5 minutes was, are you crazy, man? 5 minutes isn't a real run. But after I had told him a little bit more, basically, hey, listen, you'll be proud of yourself that you got in 5 minutes. 5 minutes is better than nothing. 5 minutes is what you can do. So get it in there. And I'll tell you what, you're more likely to run tomorrow if you got in this run today, even if it's only 5 minutes. And who says 5 minutes isn't a real run? And that was the impetus for me to go home and quickly write the 5-minute run. Because I thought there are probably a lot of people, me included, back in the day, that would look at a 5-minute run and say, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. So I thought, you know what? Let's put in a run that's 5 minutes long. Not 6, not 25, not 55, 5 minutes. And let's celebrate the 5-minute run. But I knew in this 5-minute run, for this to really resonate with an athlete, for this to really resonate with you, I was going to need to legitimize a 5-minute run. This wasn't going to be a joke. I didn't want it to be a joke, because a 5-minute run is not a joke. I didn't want to be a, well, this is all I can do. No, I wanted to celebrate 5 minutes of running. I wanted the athlete to finish the 5-minute run and not feel like they needed to add on to make it a real run, a worthy run. I wanted them to understand that a 5-minute run is a run, and it's a run worth doing. So the centerpiece of the 5-minute run is really when I say to the athlete, if you can't do the run you want to do, do the run you can do. And it struck a chord. And I think it made a lot of people feel way, way better about running, about their own running. And I hope, and I feel like it has, taken a lot of the pressure off going for a run that maybe is not what you had originally planned, because you don't have enough time, or you don't have the fitness, you don't have the confidence, or you're comfortable enough to go for longer. I think understanding you do what you can do, even if it's not all that you want to do, is worthy of celebration. So that's where the 5-minute run came from, and it is a run that gets done a lot. I'll tell you that. And the cool thing is, I really feel like so many of you understand the value in getting your shoes on, crossing a starting line, running for 300 seconds, and finding a finish line, celebrating what you did, being proud of what you did, and understanding that if you can't do the run you want to do, it is badass to get out there and do the run you can do. So that's where it came from, all right? At least in terms of it being amplified, the message. But I'll give you a little history about myself. I did not believe that for so long. I did not believe that a 5-minute run was worthy of starting. I did not believe that a 5-minute run was a legitimate run. I did not believe that it should be celebrated. And as a result, when I had put off a run, or my schedule did not allow for a longer run, Or I had been so lazy during the course of the day that I had run out of time to take the amount of time I needed to do a run. That was more time than 5 minutes. So I just didn't run. And I missed so many days. And here's a couple things that I missed other than going for the run. I missed the confidence that comes from going for a run. I missed the lessons that are gained from going for a run. I missed the pride that I would have had in myself for getting my shoes on and crossing that starting line, like I said, and starting a run when maybe I was low on inspiration or low on motivation or low on time, or I had been lazy all day long, or the situation was not suitable for going for a longer run, but it was suitable for going for a 5 minute run. It robbed me of being able to celebrate consistency that a 5 minute run can give you, because I was finding myself in positions where I was coming up with this conversation quite a bit of, should I go for a run when it's not the run I want to do? More than I really am proud of, more than I really should have, for a lot of different reasons. I've been very upfront about how incredibly lazy I was throughout my running career. And what came with that laziness was me becoming really good at making excuses for not going for a run at all. Oh, it's so late, or I hate the treadmill, or it's really cold, or I have class coming up soon, or I have to get to work, or I've got to go pick somebody up, or I've got to go to sleep in a little bit. And what would happen is, because I would say I don't have enough time to go run for what I want to do or what was scheduled for me to do, which let's say could be a 50, a 60-minute run, a 70-minute run, a 30-minute run. It doesn't matter. The point is it was always too much time at a certain point for me to do. And rather than saying, well, what time do I have? That's enough time. I'll use that much time. I've got 15 minutes, I'm going to go for a 15-minute run. I've got 10 minutes, I'm going to go for a 10-minute run. I've got 5 minutes, I'm going to go for a 5-minute run. I would always block it by saying it's not a real run, because the real run is what I wanted to do. And anything less than that is nothing. And that's not true. It's not true. It's not nothing until it hits zero. Anything above zero is something. But I have a long history of nothings that show up in my running log, that show up on my calendar. Big zeros. Because it was a weird mixture of laziness and arrogance that I had. Too lazy to do the run and too arrogant to allow myself to do a 5 minute run. And I cost myself a lot of good stuff. You know, you think that a zero neither adds or takes away from something, right? I mean, that's the mathematical concept. It's nothing. And that's not true in my case. My case, that zero took away. And I'm not talking about days off that you need. I'm not talking about that. Those zeros on days that you need them, they don't take away and they're not nothing. They are something. See, math, when it comes to running, is not like math outside of running. Running math is its own funky little concept. So when you need a zero in the running log because of fatigue, because of stress, because you need to recover, you need to rest, that zero adds to you as an athlete. Wild, right? And if you don't need that zero, and you really want to go for a run, but you put in a zero, it can take away. That nothing can subtract from your something. And it subtracted from my confidence. It subtracted from the way that I was looking at myself as a runner. And inevitably, there'd be a hangover from it. That zero I didn't need. That zero I chose to take because I was too lazy, or I had procrastinated, or I didn't have the perseverance or the discipline to start a run. Well, it bled into the next day, and it shook my confidence, and that would show up in hard efforts, races, and really how I carried myself throughout the day. Because it would be this kind of, like I said, this hangover, this rain cloud over me of, I can't even get myself to do something that is not only good for me, and I know it's good for me, but I want to do it. Why can't I break through this? So that zero, yeah, sometimes it can add or it can take away. And that was my history. So it was something that I was aware of, and it took me a long time to deal with. And I'll tell you what really helped me was coaching. It helped me as an athlete. That arrogance I had as an athlete really dissipated when I finally became a coach. And I was able to look at the athletes I was working with and say, you know what? Let me tell you about all the mistakes I made so you don't have to make them. And I talked about this on a recent episode of Coach Bennett's podcast. I come from a place where I believe if I made a mistake, I don't think you need to make it. I'll tell you about my experience. I'll tell you about how I screwed up. I'll tell you about the negative aspects of it. I'll tell you what I learned from it. And hopefully that experience that I had can keep you from repeating the same mistakes, from having to go through the experience yourself. Now, don't get me wrong. Some people, including me, can only learn so much from someone else's experience. And I have to make the mistake myself to really get the lesson. And I wish that wasn't the case. But from a coach perspective, I'm going to tell you about the mistakes I made. I'm not going to hide them. I'm going to put a spotlight on them in the hopes that you can learn from my errors, from my screw-ups, so you don't have to. So when I started coaching, this was something that I wanted athletes to know. That guess what? Life can get in the way in so many different ways. Schedules can get screwed up. Responsibilities can change. The calendars can have days swapping where you have to do this on one day, but then it gets switched to another day. And guess what? The run that we wanted to do suddenly can't happen. Now, that doesn't mean we have to have a loss or a zero on the day. What we need to do is ask ourselves, what could we do? How can we get the most out of today? What does that mean? Now, maybe the schedule said 40 minutes, but you got out late from school because it was an exam, and guess what? You got to go to work afterwards. All right, so now suddenly our window of time to get this 40-minute run has closed to the point where we're not getting a 40-minute run in. Okay. But that doesn't mean by default there's no run. Maybe what it means is we have time to do 20 minutes. Maybe what it means is that we can ease into the run, which means maybe we, instead of doing some dynamic stretching beforehand, we're going to take the early parts of the run to dynamically warm up. And maybe instead of 40 minutes, we now can squeeze in 25 minutes. How does that sound? And when you get to work, maybe you can stretch a little bit. Is that okay? So we're going to have to finagle the schedule a little bit. We're going to have to finesse things. That's okay. But just because we can't do what we wanted to do, it doesn't mean we can't do anything. In fact, what if we just start the conversation with, okay, what can we do? Let's do that. Because if we can fully do everything we can do, isn't that the best we can do? And now what we're also doing is we're making sure that we're not beating ourselves up for taking advantage of everything we can take advantage of. We're not beating ourselves up for disadvantages we have. What an incredible waste of time and energy. It's hard enough going for a run. You shouldn't be beating yourself up for doing all of a run that you are capable of doing. Why would you do that? What is the benefit? Sometimes if you just break it down rationally, you realize how irrational we can be sometimes. The schedule got screwed up. I only have 5 minutes to go for a run. So what'd you do? I only ran 5 minutes. I suck? No, wait a minute. You only could run 5 minutes and you did all that you could do? How is that not something we celebrate? And we should celebrate it. We shouldn't beat ourselves up. Because if you want to set yourself up to have a better run tomorrow, the best possible run you can have tomorrow, well, don't sabotage yourself by beating yourself up. So this is how it kind of infiltrated my coaching in a positive way, from an experience that I had to deal with as an athlete for so many years of not saying, if you can't do the run you want to do, well, don't do anything, which was really kind of my MO. I switched it to, if you can't do the run you want to do the run you can do. And what a more positive way of heading into a run, rather than being upset, angry, belittling myself. What a more positive way of saying, okay, I've got 5 minutes. I'm going to run for 5 minutes. I'm going to fully embrace the fact that I've only got 5 minutes of running, and I'm going to get the most I can out of these 5 minutes. And then I'm going to celebrate the fact that I did what I could do. I mean, let's set ourselves up for success. Okay, that's the way to do it. And maybe I'll be in a better position to learn from the day, because maybe I should have seen this coming. Maybe I should have understood that there was a really good chance I was going to get out of class late. And since I have work afterwards, that window can get really, really, really short. Maybe the smartest thing to do was to have assumed I was only going to be able to get in a 5-minute run. And when the schedule opened up a little bit more than I thought, I can adjust the other way and say, oh, you know what? I got out of class a little bit early. I can actually go for a 15-minute run instead of the 5 that I thought I was only going to get to do. There were all of these different lessons that were coming from me in my ignorance, my self-imposed idiocy when I was an athlete, of diminishing the value of a run or saying it really is all of what I want to do or nothing of what I can do. Everything had really changed. And I think it really took the pressure off the athletes that I worked with, because we weren't starting from a bad place. We weren't starting from a negative place when the schedule dictated that we couldn't do everything we wanted to do. We were starting from a really good place, which was, what can we do? Okay, I like that. Now let's get after it. The other thing is, it's a really great place to practice kindness and empathy for yourself. It really is, which I know I try to bring up in almost every single episode, but this is something you need to practice. Just like you need to have check-ins on your breathing and your form, you need to be having check-ins on kindness and empathy to yourself, because we can be cruel and we can lack empathy towards ourselves. I mean, think about the process that I've just been discussing. Those two things, kindness and empathy, will help you set yourself up for success when you're planning a run, when you're putting together your schedule. Don't be rigid. Be flexible. Kindness and empathy demand flexibility. So does consistent running. So practice these things, and you're going to have a better training regimen. You're going to have better runs, and you're going to train and run more consistently. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And here's something else that I'm trying to tell you, which came out of this, which was really an opportunity for us as a coach and an athlete to talk about what it means to be your best. And I always had an issue with people saying, well, me at my best are my personal bests, meaning my fastest, my furthest, the longest I've run. Which, yeah, that was you at your best by those measurements, but that's past. If we're talking about present, you at your best is when you're trying your best. So if the best you can do is a 5-minute run, then that's you at your best. Because really, it's about effort, isn't it? You at your best is about reaching your potential, isn't it? So if we only have the potential for a 5-minute run, then wouldn't a 5-minute run be the best run we could do? Wouldn't you setting yourself up to try your best, and trying your best today means doing the run you are capable of doing? Well, that's you at your best. So it was a really great opportunity to discuss with athletes that we can be our best every single day. What we need to be doing is trying our best. Now, here's the other thing. If it was always furthest, farthest, longest, fastest, well, we don't have the opportunity every day to be our best. Because today is a 5-minute easy run. I've run longer, I've run farther, I've run faster. How can I be my best today? Well, if the potential we want you to reach today is a recovery run for 5 minutes with a good attitude, if you do that and you try your best to achieve those things, and at the end of it, we realize you did achieve those things, you, my friend, are at your best today. When you try your best, you're at your best. When you reach your potential, you're at your best. So that was another opportunity for me to work with athletes and say, hey, guess what? I know you wanted to go for 40 minutes today. We only had the potential to go for 20 because of the schedule for whatever reason. We wanted to go 40. We only could go 20. We did everything we could. How is that not you at your best? How is that not you achieving your potential? If we don't have the potential to go longer, if we don't have the potential to go farther, what we do is what we can do. That equals you at your best. That's a great thing to talk about with an athlete. It's a great thing to talk about with yourself. So that was another aspect of this that really excited me as a coach, and I think really excited the athletes. So we had less days where athletes were going home disappointed, deflated, less confident. That leads to a better athlete. That means we're having better practices. Better practices consistently, which leads to better running. So that was also an offshoot of if you can't do the run you want to do, do the run you can do. And lastly, something that I thought was also very important that came out of this is that it doesn't have to be all or nothing. That's just not true. It's not all or nothing. It can be something or nothing. That's what it can be. It can be something or nothing. And from a coaching perspective, from an athlete's perspective, from a human perspective, I'm all about them somethings. You know what I mean? If the question is, can we have none of something good or some of something good, I'm going to take the some of something good. And some of a good run is better than none of a good run. So let's go for that. Let's make sure we're not turning these things into all or nothing, artificially turning it into all or nothing. That does not have to be the option. The option can be something or nothing. And like I said earlier, just a little waiver, sometimes nothing is better than something. You know what I mean? But when we're talking about something good, a run that you not only want to do, you can do, you should do, is good for you, then guess what? Something is better than nothing. Don't beat yourself down for doing what you can do. Don't ever do that. Celebrate the fact that you did what you could do. Yes, sure, maybe it wasn't what you wanted to do. Maybe it wasn't everything you had hoped to do, but you did what you can do. If you consistently do what you can do, or as I said in the 5-minute run, if you can keep doing the run you can do, soon enough, you'll be doing the runs you want to do. That's the lesson. And that's Behind the Line. What did you think? Pretty cool, huh? And I had so much fun doing this. And I'm hoping you had fun listening to it. And if there are other lines, because I know that you guys ask about them, if there are other lines you want me to talk about, send them my way. You can DM me. You can hit me up on any of the social media. You can write to the mailbox. You let me know what lines you would like me to just give you a little Behind the Lines episode. How does that sound? Hopefully it sounds pretty good. So that's it. Episode 42. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for subscribing. If you haven't already subscribed, please subscribe. Thanks for rating and reviewing the podcast. There's a new Coach Bennett's newsletter that just dropped yesterday, which I think you're going to really, really enjoy. So check that out. Subscribe to that one as well. And as always, thank you for letting me be a part of your running journey. Until next time, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. I'll meet you on that next starting line. Thank you so much for listening to Coach Bennett's podcast today. And if you're not already following or subscribed to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening, well, I really wish you would because it helps a lot. Also, check out the show notes because you'll find a link to Coach Bennett's newsletter as well as all the social media sites that I'm on. Places like Threads and Facebook and Instagram and Mastodon and YouTube and even the artist formerly known as Twitter, whatever that dumpster fire is called today. You'll find a link to it because I'm on there. Thank you so much again for listening. And until next time, take care of yourself.